Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call to order our regular meeting for June the 6th, 2018. Let us stand for the pledge and a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we have the adoption of the agenda.
So made.
Okay.
One
change.
Okay.
The agenda you got has an unfinished business item on it down there, but it wasn't in your package. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure it'll just be a discussion item.
Okay.
That's the under unfinished business.
Unfinished. Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0. One. Excuse me, I forgot to say it on that one. All righty. Next, Mr. Nichols.
Just a couple of quick things. The flooding was interesting the last couple of weeks. A.G. Dillard is our spotlight of business this week. A great company that's up on Memory Lane off Highway 250 in the northern part of our county, and does a lot of great work around Central Virginia. And so they're the ones spotlighted here, and has done a lot of volunteer work around the area too, and donating equipment and services to different good enterprises. So we appreciate A.G. Dillard's work in our county. And then Farm Heritage Museum, the dedication and celebration is tentatively, well, it's scheduled for Saturday, August 4th from 5 to 8 p.m. And we'll get invitation and information out to all of you, but it's going to be, we'll have flyers to make it a community event that night. What I'd like to do is have the board commit about $1,000 from the DOS contingency for the band, because we're going to have kind of a bluegrass band, and then some, you know, light sandwiches and chips and cookies and things that night, because it's a community dedication event for the farm museum. Otherwise, I've got to scramble around trying to find money from someplace. I don't have time to do it. So, is the board interested in supporting that?
I guess so. I mean, it's something new here.
It is.
I'll make the cookies.
You can make 1,000 of them, can you?
I can.
No, I guess we can just up there.
That'll take
her
an hour.
Yeah. Where I
said
it.
Okay.
That's it.
I want rock and roll.
Yes, rock and roll band.
Yeah.
Okay,
so you got
it's
three.
It's fine.
And the flooding at the Pleasant Grove Park is not the only place, but over at where the sewer plant is across the street, water was coming up pretty close to there too. We didn't have any catastrophic problems, which was great, but obviously, folks are affected by the high waters over all the heavy rain. And fortunately, no serious injuries or loss of life in our county, and there obviously had been in Central Virginia, but we're well recovered now. River's still pretty brown, but well recovered.
If you watch the radar, we got very lucky because the greens and yellows and oranges would stay on both sides of us, and then north of us and south of us.
Absolutely.
We didn't get any of those mixed colors too much.
We were very fortunate, and we got plenty as it was.
Yes.
So we've got your regular meeting in 2 weeks, your evening meeting, and then remember, one meeting in July, the 11th, because the 4th is a holiday, and we're back on regular schedule in August, the 1st and the 15th.
I won't be here on the 20th.
On the June 20th, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Where is the VACO 5th District meeting going to be held? It's on the 14th, but I don't know where.
It's in Crozet.
It's at one of the elementary schools in Crozet.
Yeah, we'll send you the link. Kelly, can you set it off my calendar? Because I think it's the address is on there. And
everything. Okay.
We'll send you the link to it. It's in the evening on the
14th. I know it's the 14th.
6 to the 8, 6 to 8, I believe.
Yeah, one of the schools, but I think it's in the Crozet. Okay. The address
again. All right, thank you.
Any questions I can answer for the board?
Anyone? All right, hearing none. Thank you, Mr. Nichols. We will now close this book so I can go back over here. We'll now open the first round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium, state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the board at this time?
Hello, my name is Charity Howell. I'm an outreach representative from Senator Mark Warner's office. I appreciate you all allowing me to speak. I just wanted to introduce myself to the board as a resource for you all, as well as, you know, for federally, as well as if you all needed anything from the senator's office. I would like to share my card with you all.
Thank you.
I've already met with Mr. Nichols, and he shared with me a lot of different events and things going on in the area, and I look forward to coming back down to Fluvanna. So if you all have anything that you would like to share with me, please feel free to email me any events, and I would love to come on behalf of the senator, or if we could get the senator to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much. Is there anyone else wish to speak at this time? All right, seeing none, I will now close the first round of public comment.
Before we get into action matters, I think we have the choice of the board saying a few words before we get into the meeting. And I just wanted to make a few comments here that I thought should be brought up. Several days back, Moselle Booker and Sheriff Hess, they were at the Memorial Day dedication in Charlottesville. And
Scottsville.
But was this in Scottsville or in Charlottesville?
Scottsville.
Front page of the Daily Progress, so I thought they should get that recognition. And also something that I'm really proud of, when you look in the newspaper, it says Fluvanna County High School announces scholarship and award winners. Over $1 million in scholarships have been given out this year. I doubt if any county in the state of Virginia can hardly beat us at the size that we are. It's just unbelievable. And I commend all these scholarships. And those are my comments. And Moselle, you can have this newspaper.
I believe it was, they actually gave a total, was it 1.6 or
1.3? 1.3. I think it's on there.
1.3?
It's
over a million.
I hadn't seen that.
Uh-huh.
And I will add one thing to that. If you haven't been able to keep up with it, we will be playing Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock in the state semifinals in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
This year.
I saw where you won.
If we win, if we're lucky enough to take care of business in that game, then we will have the opportunity to play Saturday morning for the state championship. It's down to four teams.
We will.
Very good.
All righty, we will now head forward with the action matters. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Mm-hmm.
At tab F, Fluvanna County Public Schools Carisbrook Elementary Roof Project, Phase 1, Mr. Winkler.
Here, sit down under the acquisition.
Right there, witness.
Along with that tie there, I tell you, that's a
I was
sharp
in a Fred
weapon.
Flintstone kind of mood today.
Just to understand, so I do have a shock button.
You beat me, huh?
Got a
okay,
problem.
All right, I'm ready.
Schools out, yeah, but I do.
Yes. Thank you very much. I would have pumped that tonight in my board meeting. Thank you first and foremost for pointing out some of the wonderful work that administration, teacher, staff, and most importantly our students did with the scholarship. Really proud of our almost 280 some graduates this year. They did an outstanding job, and moving on to, we'll say, bigger and also better things. But once Fluke go, always Fluke go. Thanks for the plug, Mr. Sheridan. I reached out to you this morning. Hopefully you're going to join us down there in victory, and not if we win, when we win Friday.
Don't put the cart before the horse.
I understand that, but we're taking a pretty good team.
I'm taking a suitcase with me.
Yes, sir. Proud of our Flukos, and then they will play again, hopefully, on 10 o'clock on Saturday morning at Salem Memorial Stadium down in Salem, Virginia. I think the board is aware, I hope the board is aware, we've had some issues over the last year and past years with the Carisbrook roof. It is now out of warranty. We originally dealt with a company called Puff Roofing. Most of them folks are out in Charlottesville area. There's a large portion of our roof, not the complete roof, about 24,000 square feet, that has quite a few leaks, and leaks that we can no longer fix within our maintenance department. And we're trying to extend enough funds and trying to gather enough funds to fix this immediately. If not, it's going to cause, it's already caused some minor mold issues, but some other issues that's impeding us from an instructional process. We believe we can get this project done, at least the phase one of this project done over the summer, but we need some funds. We had $107,000 approximately in the CIP project from Carysbrook in the past, and we came, Mr. Stribling, and folks, I think, came last month and asked that money to be moved to the CIP. But the total project for phase one is going to cost us around $250,000. That's why I'm here. We are in need of these funds. I'm asking for $150,000 to be released into the FY18 CIP fund specifically for this Carysbrook roof project in phase one. It will cover a complete teardown and re-roof of the 24,000, which is the main core instructional. There's still almost over 60-some thousand square feet of roof that we'll have to phase in out years. And that's in the CIP in some out years. Now, I know $150,000 is a lot of money. A few months back when we met and talked about the overall budget, I talked about what I thought we would have in carryover. I'm still going to hit that $300,000 plus mark to put it back in the fund balance because you were gracious enough to give me $600,000 moving forward into next year's budget. I'm going to put myself out there again. I'm on the hook right now for $300,000. I need $150,000 in CIP money out of fund balance this year to fix that roof. I need it. If you give it to me, I'll make sure there's an additional $150,000 in my carryover for you to give back to put in fund balance. You're on the hook for my total appropriation the way it exists right now, a little over $40 million. I just ran the numbers 35 minutes ago. I'm good with making the statement. I need to fix this roof, and I need $150,000 to do it. But I need it for the most part now. We've got some estimates. We reached out to your, and that's why I brought Mr.
Will. That's what I was wondering about.
Yes, sir. And I don't know if you want to articulate. You know the gentleman's name and the company, but please
come up here, Andy.
You want my seat?
I was waiting for him to sit down. I got that button right here.
Mr. Weaver, we've been working with
Frank Dyer.
Yeah, Frank Dyer, and then the manufacturer's representative that he worked with.
Right.
And he doesn't represent a certain manufacturer. He represents about 10 different roofing manufacturers. Mm-hmm. So he's one that's helping us with the RFP process, making sure we have everything down. And then we actually have gotten our initial estimates from Mitchell Roofing, who did our middle school project. And then we've got the RFP ready to go out to the contractors that you worked with on the jail project and
right.
all over the state of Virginia and Carolina.
Did that help you at all?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep, a lot of information.
I mean, did it reduce some of the cost? Because, as I understand, they were getting it somewhat, quote, wholesale over there. Well, and I was hoping we could get on that bandwagon.
Well, we won't truly know until we get the advertised RFPs back.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Miracle Greg, who is with RGS Building Solutions, who worked with the jail as well through the contractors, said we're getting the best we can get.
Well, naturally.
But, yeah,
you know,
there's been a
yeah.
huge increase.
If we could get on that other contract,
yeah.
I'm sure they'd save quite a few dollars.
Yes, sir.
Well, but you'll look, I mean, the quick numbers, that's over $10 a square foot. Roofing prices, for whatever reason, I mean, I know it's materials, labor, and everything, just from the economy alone, has gone up. We did the high school roof. We were right about, the middle school roof. It was about a little less than $6 a square foot. The same company is back with us, and that's where we got the initial somewhere around between $240 and $250. It's just gone up in 2.5-3 years now.
Yeah, well, good time versus bad time.
Yes. Uh-huh. I mean, and it was not a very good roof to begin with.
But yeah. It's been quite some time. You didn't put out an RFP. Did you put an IFP?
We haven't done an RFP yet. We haven't done it. We have the RFP designed and ready to go out.
But it won't go out as an RFP. It will go out as an invitation for bid.
We could do either or. We could request for proposal or an invitation for bid. We could do either or.
Or we could do a construction RFP.
We've done them in the past. We've either piggybacked on.
I
The reason this matters is because it'll make a difference on which one you select for price. If it's an IFP, you're going to select the lowest responsive bidder. If it's an RFP, there's more leeway, but I didn't know what we're doing on construction, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I know when we did the middle school, but we were an RFP. And we did not, at that time, go with the lowest bidder, but there were some other issues along with that.
Yeah. No, for RFP, it's lowest
bidder. Here's my question.
Yes, sir.
The warranty on these roofs, how long is the warranty on these?
The new material we're looking at is 20?
New material is 20.
Plus was 15. Yes. We're out of it.
Typically, commercial roofs are only 15.
Because that's my only issue.
Yes.
That we've replaced this roof now. This will be the third roof that will be on this building. Uh-huh. And the building is 27 years old, if I recollect, because I was one of the first teachers in that building.
98.
No, it was added. Well, they had
this
original.
Should be, in theory, the third roof.
They replaced it once. This will be the third time.
They truly didn't replace it. They covered
correct,
it.
Correct. They just.
Sounds to me like something's going wrong, which is even more cost.
The new material that we're looking at right now, the older material was more. Rubber base. This also has a rubber base.
Fiber type.
It has a synthetic fiber built into it, so they're extending it another 5 years. And they're basically showing puncture resistance. The bottom line is most schools, instructional buildings, they're flat roofs. And sure. Inevitably, they're going to get...
Right. How long will this go for then? What's the guarantee?
20 years on this one. 20 years. It's going to see me and you through, Mr. Weaver.
You think so?
Not life.
Don't bet on it.
No, sir.
I was going to say, that's just a link.
Not life.
Don't bet on it.
You're looking forward to the fifth roof.
And you're talking about Carisbrook?
Yes.
It was built, what, 1988?
No. 1990, early
90s.
91. Okay, I knew it.
I was at Central for a year, and I was at...
It's not that old.
Right.
That's a point I was getting at.
I think it is in an early
90s. Yeah, because I left in 88. And
27 years, because I taught 3 years before I went to the...
So, math, 16, 11 years in.
Close to 30 years.
Puff roof.
30 years.
Puff roofing came in. Uh-huh. Your first roof, you got, sounds like 11 or 12 years out of your first. I don't know who did the original roof on the first one.
Yeah, didn't get
But I know Puff did an entire rebuild and changed some HVAC equipment. Well, we now year 16 because we're out there with 15-year warranty. Mm-hmm. 16 years ago.
Right.
And again, this company should, in theory, take us to 38.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to do it.
Why are we just getting a new school?
Just kidding.
What a better roof.
Yabba dabba do.
What a lifetime roof.
I don't think he wants to get into that.
No, sir. And I am trying to be a financial steward. I understand the straps. I understand the county, and I understand you'll be looking into fund balance to make this happen. I've looked at ours. I get all the ins and outs, and the only thing I can do is look at you. The same thing I did before is with my word, my handshake, and my bond. I'm willing to give that to you. I think I'll say I'll go on premise. I know it'll be there from a carryover standpoint come September, maybe the early part of October. I know that money will be there, and I would hope then some. I won't say it'll be millions, but then some.
Well,
and all that I'm going to be asking.
That's going to be my next comment. Is I hope we're not breaking even on this deal. I hope it's going to be to the good.
Right, but if we break even, we're still good.
No, we're not.
I am. Mike, you know me better now.
I know. All right. Are there any questions from your board?
Anything?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Mr. Winkler. All right. If we have no discussion from your board, do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation of $150,000 to the fiscal year 18 Carisbrook Elementary Roof Project. Phase 1, CIP,
need
to come from unassigned fund balance.
Do I have a second? I got a motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you all. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
So now they're going to say even a caveman can get something passed by this board, huh?
G, CARE Task Force Charter and Membership Extension. Mr. Nichols.
The Columbia Area Task Force is going well. We're still waiting on the demolition of the structures. The contractor says they'll be done by the end of June, and that was what the original time was. We hoped May, but he said by the end of June.
Okay.
And so they're still proceeding. But the task force members, we had another robust meeting the week before last,
and all the task force members are still interested in gun law and want to continue. And so I'd ask you to renew the charter for the year. It normally would expire this year because you need a six-month extension, and to renew the appointments of the existing members who are all interested in continuing to serve. It certainly requires some staff time for this, but it's really a community effort to try to think about what's going to happen over the next 5 years, 8 years, and 10 years in Columbia, and they're still interested in proceeding. They weren't interested in kind of disbanding and turning it over to like Historical Society or some other group. They want to keep the task force going. So,
would you please put up the task force's list of things? I think we didn't have a list. Yeah, that's it.
Disbanding.
Okay.
And okay. I think
do you have an action plan engaged. To do these?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Was the action plan in there?
No, do you want to pull it up?
Support renewal and cleanup efforts. What's the action plan?
Do you want me to pull it up?
Yes. That wasn't in there.
No.
I was just interested that there's some nice things that this task force is going to do. But I just wanted to see how they were going to get there.
This is the phased action plan that you approved in December.
Okay.
All the task one items have been completed.
Mm-hmm.
All the task two items, part of them are on another sheet I've got where they're completed, like a new signage has already been installed. This is a little bit out of date. Uncovered sidewalk has been done.
Okay.
We've already contacted the state on historical markers. We have another work day coming up when the Boy Scouts do theirs, and we'll do some more trash removal. But this is the existing plan that you approved back in December when they originally presented it, and that's the four-phase plan for Columbia.
Okay.
So, and there's we check this off at every meeting for the task force, and any things that have been completed or accomplished, like for instance, the review of the use of the Columbia School playground equipment, is not eligible to be reused down there. Many of these we marked off, but there are still lots of these other ones.
The Boy Scouts, do we have a date for that yet?
We do not, sir. They were going to do one sometime in May or June, and it didn't happen. And so Ms. Kenny and Mr. Zimmer are coordinating on dates, and then they'll let us know when it's going to be, and we'll get back to everyone.
Because I will tell you this, I forgot to mention this earlier, this is just one of the other things. Our lacrosse team, the boys, had struggled all year, and that's why I wasn't there that night. We went down to the regionals. We lost in double overtime. They were down four goals, came back and tied it up in the last 4 minutes, and then we lost in double overtime. So.
Wow. Is a local company doing the demolition?
Yes, ma'am. Shellback Excavating, the one that's located in Columbia itself, and another branch is
okay.
Isaac Shelley and his team will be going with the demolition. We've covered all this before, and maybe it was a meeting that you weren't here for. So
no, I just need a refresher now.
Okay,
then.
No, I thought maybe I'd miss something.
No, I'm not accusing you of missing. I'm sure you are very thorough.
No,
old brain can't hold a whole lot.
So there is a good action plan that the task force put together. This is what the board had approved. So we're checking these things off as we go. And Shellback Excavating has been great to work with, and we got a really amazing price from them too. But hopefully this month now the building will be down. So. A lot of good progress. It's going to take time. The task force was never going to complete the whole thing in the first year. It would never happen. Because this is really a multi-year.
Right. So you do have a timeline. I see pending. You do have.
We have suggestions.
Suggestions.
Some of the things are big projects that are going to take some time before they can possibly happen.
Phase three runs out afterwards, at the second half of this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up part. And then phase four will be 2019 and beyond. But many of these things on the phase two section have either been accomplished or are underway.
I drive that driver's ed car through there about every other day, just waiting to see the first
Me
time
too.
When I walk through, when I go through there and the building missing.
Yeah.
As soon as the task force comes back with another full update, we'll have task force members here, and they'll give you an update on the checkup on each one of these items individually.
Okay.
So the board's got
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you very much. And is there any questions from the board?
I,
I move to approve a one-year extension of the CARE Task Force Charter until June 30th, 2019, and further move to extend Task Force member appointments for terms to end June 30th, 2019.
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. H, FY19 pay rates and classifications. Ms. Rice.
This is right off number one, sorry.
Okay. Good afternoon. So what happened in December was you all had approved a pay schematic which outlined the pay bands and classifications for the staff positions in the county. And as we're going through and auditing some of our staff salaries and pay bands recently, we came across some administrative errors where positions were either not moved into the new pay band or the pay band they were supposed to go to didn't reflect the salary that they were actually earning. And so what we've done is made some edits to that, and then that's what you have in front of you right now.
That's not that one. This is in your package. In your package, yeah, it's not on the screen. Yeah. Right. Sorry, I'm getting handed out everyone for the...
Right. So if you actually go to the very end, there's a detailed list right here that talks about the changes that were made to the schematic, and it very clearly says where we're moving them from and to, and it has to do with the level of responsibility they have and also their current pay. And also, we did clean up the schematic a little bit so it's easier to read, and it's now on one sheet instead of multiple different documents for us.
So on that last page, the ones that say correcting, all it was is just a typo that was on one of the sheets you approved in December said pay band 10 to 11. Another sheet said pay band 10 to 12. And we just corrected it to make sure it's in the correct one. So there's no dollar changes on any of these. It's just administrative. But you're also now approving the fiscal year 19 schematics and pay list based on what you set out for a budget. So normally you would do this July or August of the year, but it's ready to go, and you've already approved the budget for fiscal year 19. So there's no pay changes here. It's just correcting the typos that were on the one you saw in December, because there was one sheet said one version and one sheet said another.
But there'll be a pay change the future sometime now.
No, sir.
Because they're in another band.
No, sir.
No.
All these were approved. All the things you approved in the budget this year, last December when Ms. Parrish presented the schematic, there was a schematic, like kind of like this. Normally you see something that looks similar to this, except last year's version had hours and annual together in one column instead of two columns. And then there was a list of changes. And that was in the board package in December 6th. On the list of changes, it said move this position from pay band 10 to pay band 11. On the schematic, it showed physically moving from pay band 10 to pay band 9 or pay band 10 to pay band 12, it was just administratively wrong. It was just typed in the wrong block. Because that was in the package and this shows a discrepancy, we're correcting the discrepancy here. But nobody's changing pay. They're moving into the bands that you approved in the budget this year.
So in 3 years, the classification doesn't have anything to do with it then, these changes, because you're only getting them in the right band now.
Absolutely. That's correct. So, for instance, a sheriff's deputy that was supposed to be in pay band 13, and you approved that in the budget, and the document approved in December said pay band 13, but the second piece of it said pay band 12, we're just making sure they're in the correct one.
Right.
And we've made some substantial changes to the formatting here so that the sheriff's deputies and the communications folks stand out, because the sheriff's deputies work a 2,184-hour work year, not 2,080 like the standard,
mm-hmm.
84 hours a pay period, and they don't get overtime until they exceed 86 hours. That's just law. And the communications folks in the E-91 Center work a 2,184-hour annual pay period, but they get mandatory overtime because they work 36 hours a month week, 312s, and they work 48 hours in the next week, for 12s, and so therefore they get mandatory overtime. So this, the very top of the document, the very top of the document reflects that. The ones that are identified in pink, that star 2184, and it's pink, it reflects all the mandatory overtime. That's salaries for someone who works in the communication center. The blue ones are sheriff's deputies because they're different than a standard employer. So if you go down to, here's an example, like if you look at pay band 14, on the screen, you'll see that the base salary for pay band 14 is $38,110 right here in the center screen. But the base salary for a communications operator, operations coordinator, is not $38,110, it's $41,921 because they work more hours and they have mandatory overtime. It's the same hourly rate, but you can see that their annual pay is more. Sheriff's deputies, again, sheriff's deputies are different. They work $21,84, but they don't have mandatory overtime. So the base normal salary for a sheriff's deputy is $40,000, the same $18.32 an hour, but they work different numbers of hours. And so we tried to break it up to make it very easy for people to see that there's three kinds of employees. A standard 2080, 2,080 hours, 80-hour pay period, 40 hours a week. Then there are communications folks that work 2184, a 36-hour week and a 48-hour week. And then there are sheriff's deputies that work an 84-hour pay period. They don't classify by week for sheriff's deputies, and they don't go to overtime until they get to 86 hours above. That's just the law. But we tried to break it out to make it more simple. So at the same time we were doing that for your fiscal year 19 pay plan, we corrected some of the typos that were on the one from December. But no pay changes, sir, and no additional costs. The count of the missing in your budget that wasn't approved already by you. And we've coordinated this with the sheriff's office and gone through this with them and tried to make it clear.
All right, any other questions?
No.
Okay, no. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the revised 2019 pay rates and classifications as presented.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We have no presentations. Hallelujah. And we will now move forward with the consent agenda.
And tab L is just deferred. That's not ready.
Tab L is deferred? Okay. All right. I, minutes of April 18th, 2018. Ms. Harris. J, minutes of May 2nd, 2018. Ms. Harris. K, policy 5.2, website privacy and external link policy, Mr. Nichols. M, senior program support assistant, building inspections, Mr. Smith. MC, Farm Heritage Museum, amendment number 3, Ms. Toller. N, memorandum of understanding, MOU between the County of Fluvanna and Fluvanna County Radio Control Flying Club, LLC, Ms. Toller. O, resolution of the designation of Rural Rustic Highway, Route 680, Middle Fork Road, Mr. Stewart. Anyone want to pull anything from there?
M, please.
M, senior program assistant, support assistant.
And I just was going to make a comment when we get to K. She has M. She wants it to have me.
Is this going to be a new position?
So this is a current position. We just bumped the pay grade from 9 to 10.
You all approved that. This is just following on to your budget.
So we adapted the job description.
You approved a pay change on that position in the budget this year.
Okay, so it's...
And we updated the job description to match the pay band.
So it's the same person?
Same person, same position.
He's just fixing the pay.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
The only comment I had was on K, privacy issues. You know, that's in the news quite a bit now, and I've looked over that. I don't see anything wrong with it, but people are always concerned about what information that you're gathering from them, whether it's on the internet or what it is. I don't have any problem with it, but someone else might, the public might. So
it's possible, Mr. Weaver. We have a very simple privacy policy. Every website has some type of privacy policy on it, and our current website has a fairly simple privacy policy. It was just time to take a look at that when the new website got on. So we sent it to Mr. Payne's office to take a look at it, and not unexpectedly, it's a little more complicated, and they wanted to expand a little bit and make it a little more clear. So we just took the two things that are relating to websites, and that was the what we do with information and how we handle external links to somebody else's site. And then they had the county attorney's office give us feedback and help us structure that document. And it's vastly longer than we'd hope it to be, but it is today's language for the legal use of a website. Their friend's office did a really good job and helped us make it more clear, even though it is certainly long. It is today's standard.
Anyone else? Yes, sir. That'd be great.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the consent agenda with the understanding that L will be dealt with later.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We'll now go to unfinished business, county staff pay raise inclusion policy. Ms. Rice.
And that's the document that Mr. Udall handed out to you all. So we'll be looking at the front page first.
Okay. So in a previous meeting, we had some discussion about our cost of living pay increases and who it applied to, and what we thought was a kind of some direction as far as that goes, but there's been further discussion on that point. And over the last couple of weeks, there's been a couple of new ideas brought up, which are outlined on the page.
That's why I started laughing.
Yeah.
Sheridan and Simple, they go right beside each other.
No, the Simple plan was staff. Staff brought that one up.
Okay.
So currently what we have is, as far as the cost of living is concerned, the pay increase that's approved, staff member must be on board for 6 months before the start date of the raise, and a new county employee probation period has to be completed. And then the Mike Sheridan plan was option B. So employees are not eligible for general county pay raise or cost of living increase during their initial employee probation period until the first full pay period following completion of their probation. So what that means is when the pay raise takes effect, if you are still on your initial probation, you are not eligible for the pay increase until your probation is finished. So it's a little bit cleaner, right, and it's easier to follow.
And somebody doesn't go 18 months without a pay raise.
Potentially somebody could go a long period of time. Yeah.
Oh.
When that, and it depends on if there's a cost of living increase approved the following year, but if that's the case, then nobody would have gotten it. But we'll show you that in a second. And then the very simplest plan we could all come up with in our staff meeting was that employees receive approved general county pay increase if they're on board before the first day of the pay period when the raise takes place. So that means it doesn't matter if you're on probation or not. As long as you are here and on payroll, you get the pay increase.
So if you get hired on a Tuesday and the pay increase takes place on Thursday, you get the pay increase.
You get the pay increase.
Yeah, now, two things about that. That seems odd, and it's always been seen odd to me that I would, as an employee, expect to get a raise in 30 days after I got on board. You wouldn't normally ever expect that. Think about it this way. It's cost of living increases. And if you do it on the existing plan, we have an employee now that could go 23 months without a pay raise, and that may be the case. But there's none of the three plans that we just showed you, the red, green, and blue, that are on the screen here, too, with some samples. On the reverse side of your sheet, we'll show you where the drawings are there. If somebody came on board, let's say, in September of 2017, they would, under current policy, get the 2%. That was in January of 2018, and they wouldn't get the one that is coming up in July. And under the Sheridan plan, we would give it to them after September 18th. The problem is, do they get both of those, or do they get one of those? And what are you going to do if it's a different fiscal year? And so it's an accounting nightmare for us to try to track that. In this case, if the person was on board, they'd get the raise. If they are a good employee and make it through their probation, then they probably deserved it anyway. If they're not a good employee, they're not going to be retained through their probation. So you're not paying it off the whole time. They would be terminated because they just wouldn't, didn't make it. Most people do make it through their probation because we try to hire good people. But those that wouldn't, it's not very much cost difference. You're talking about very small cost. But we don't know how to manage all these scenarios. The pink ones are on the screen. I'm going to make this a little smaller so you can see more of them. But, I mean, if it's a 6-month probation or a 12-month probation, you can see that this one, they come on a month after the pay raise. So the pay raise was there. Mm-hmm. They come on a month after. Well, they wouldn't get a pay raise for 17 months. But that's probably reasonable. And they'd get the next pay raise that came. Well, what if there is no next pay raise that came? Well, nobody else got that pay raise either. And when they were hired, if they were hired a month after a pay raise, we'd hire at market rates. So it wouldn't already be included. There's no perfect way. Every one of these scenarios could be from 1 month till you get a pay raise to whenever the next time the county gives a raise. If the county didn't get a raise for 4 years, then it could be 4 years before you got a raise. In general, you normally don't miss more than about a year. Normally, if you do one year, you may not do the next, you do the following year. It's vastly simpler just to say if you're on board when the cost of living increase is given, that you get it as well. And otherwise, I have to track every new employee that comes on the month they were off probation. And what do I do about the one that's on the screen that I've got highlighted there? Do I retroactively go back and give them a 2% raise that happened before they came on board?
No, because you already answered that question. That was included when you hired them. If you hired them after that 2% was there,
right? Exactly. So,
that's taken care of.
I think so. So this one, I mean, that person, they're on probation, but during the middle of their probation, the county gives a cost of living increase. They would get it right there, or I'd have to mark down some classification someplace to give it to them after the end of their probation period. But, we could have 30 people in the year that are all on different dates and times. And when the dollars cross fiscal years, that becomes more problematic too. So the two that have to deal with this most are Ms. Rice and Mr. Dahl. And so you can ask them any questions you want.
Have you figured out how are you going to keep up with it? Just batted sheets? I mean,
one of the reasons this is actually in front of you all is for a little bit of guidance so that we know how to start preparing for this, because we're actually working on our cost of living increases effective June 22nd coming up here. So either the B or C plan will probably accommodate what we're looking to do, and that is to keep that compression word again, but to help eliminate that for our folks that have been here for a little while. But also the intent behind cost of living is to adjust for living expenses like increased costs of gas and milk and whatever else. It's not a performance type of situation. So.
And I was pretty excited about the quote for Sheridan plan, because it seemed to make sense to me too.
Yeah.
Wait until they're off probation and give them the raise. Except that 15 people around the table, there were 37 different reasons why that would be a problem, and that's what they started showing. And we're trying to figure out the best and simplest way to implement the pay plans that you all adopt.
Well, I think there's, I'm sorry, go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you. An inherent supposition that a manager hiring somebody prior to a pay raise may bake in or not bake in, the fact that pay raise is going to come in to play. The aspects of, in some situations, it doesn't work out based on the pay period, but the probation period that somebody's in play. It seems to me that a simple policy could simply be just if you've been hired within 120 days of a pay raise, that you're not eligible for it. That's the worst case, is you're 4 months out from the next pay raise that somebody would get, and that's, to me, not a really complicated solution to enforce. And it, you know, it could be 90 days for that matter, but it eliminates the, I got hired on June, you know, on May 31st, and on June 1st I got a pay raise, which I think could present problems to other employees who say, wait a minute, I've been here for a year, or, you know, 6 months or whatever the case may be, and I didn't get a raise.
But they got the same raise.
Well, I know they did, but I'm just saying, you know, from their perspective, they're coming in saying, you know, I can't imagine hiring somebody personally day one and then day two giving them a raise. I don't think anybody would be real happy if I did that in my organization. So, you know, there is that reasonable amount of time period, and tying it to a probation period, which may be 6 months, 90 days, a year, is certainly complicated. Tying it to some sort of fixed date makes that a little bit easier from that perspective, and I think probably more fair, because by that point in time, the employee's assimilated into the organization, you know, has ideally the respect of his coworkers, and you know, is not getting a freebie for nothing, basically.
So, do they? Okay, let me go back to
the all question. Right. Let's go back to the original discussion we had about this.
Yeah.
When it was said, we can't give them a pay raise. They can't finish their probation. They just have to wait until the next time we get a raise. That's where that was the original plan. And that's when we came back in here and just sitting in there, and it just hit me, well, why don't we just start the pay raise as soon as their probation is over? Then you come into where you got the difference of the 6 months versus the 12 months. Some people get punished more because their probation is longer. I like your idea a little bit better, because then it's a set number of days. It could be 6 months. It could be 4 months. It could be 3 months, whatever period you wanted to say. But then that would allow them 6 months. You know, you're not getting a raise at 2 days after you've been here, or 6 weeks after you've been here.
Yeah.
We at least say it's... Well, I mean, I think what Tony said is taking what I said, and instead of having different numbers for different probationary periods, you now just have one set of numbers. That's why, because I asked that the other week, I said, why do we have 6 months for some and 12 months for others?
Well, I think that the concern always was, you're giving somebody a raise during a probation period. Well, you know, it's a probation period, right? So why are you doing that? But again, we know different positions have different probation periods. In the simple plan that you're offering here, that concern isn't addressed at all. So, I don't know. I mean, that's just my thought. But.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought that, why would anybody expect a pay raise during their first, you know, 12 months on board? Yeah. It just didn't make sense to me. Now, I've had lots of people argue a different side of that, but that's kind of was always my thought. The problem comes when you've got, especially a constitutional officer who's got an employee that misses a raise or two there because they were on probation, and then what do you do if you don't give one the following year? Well, nobody else got one either, but...
Yeah, and I mean, I understand the point of saying,
do you think
if you don't get a raise, and you know, if the county decides to not do a pay increase until the mid-year, that you could run the potential of 18 months, and consequently, if you were hired 6 months beforehand, you might be 24 months without a raise. I can understand that.
Right.
But if, you know, the worst case in this example would be, assuming that a raise is given in 18 months, you know, that you'd be out 24 months or 20, you know.
Well, I assume that the employee who is through probation now and missed some raises, that the board has been very good, and I'm not sure they've ever disproved one in the 6 years that I've been here, where someone came in and wanted a, you know, a promotion or a meritorious raise or something because of work, or in this case, they've gone, you know, they've been on board 18 months now, hasn't been a pay raise, they've really done a fantastic job, would like to give them a pay boost, and then nobody comes to the board approves it. I don't think you've ever not approved one in the 6 years that I've been here. Now, they don't come every week, but that's how you handle the once-in-a-while case by case.
I should note we have not approved a raise for the board of supervisors in at least 4 years.
I'm not sure you necessarily
want to
bring that up.
I have never. Why are there different probationary periods?
Oh, so we have normally a 6 month or a 12 month probationary period, and the way it's applied is if someone has a significant work history, and especially if they've had
government experience where they work for a government organization, then they normally are on a six-month probation period. If it's an employee that has had very limited work experience or not really anything in the public sector, then they would probably be on a 12-month probation period. It generally applies more to someone who's brand new to the workforce versus someone who is coming in at a more senior level. So if it's a deputy three that's coming in, they'd be on a shorter probation period. If it's a brand new deputy one, they'd be on a longer probation period.
So there's the... It's never more than 12 months probation.
No, our county policy says 6 to 12 months.
So how many people do we have on a six-month probation right now?
I don't know.
That's how you're going to be able to track. I mean, you may not have anybody on probation right now.
Oh, we absolutely do.
You have a lot?
Well, I'm on 6 months.
Well, I was going to say, anybody that's like, new hire is going to be on some type of probation.
Yeah, but I'm saying, how many people are you talking about?
I'm thinking... Off the top of my head, we might have 15 on a six-month probation, if, you know.
And we're not going to hold you to that.
And a year?
Yeah, please don't.
And a year, how many? A year probation?
I actually,
yeah.
I'm not sure because that's even before I got here. Yeah.
It is not uncomplicated to track individual dates and things like that. It's,
We're looking for
a simple policy as possible. And whether it's, I like Mr. Sheridan's proposal before. I think it's great. It's just that now we've got to worry about fiscal years and timing. And on this one that you see on the screen, so what would that person get if we followed the Sheridan policy?
The 2%?
Oh. Or 4%?
4%.
My interpretation would be the 2% for FY19
because that's when it came
behind off
us.
Of probation. That's how I would interpret that.
So only the pay raise that happened in the fiscal year when they came off probation.
I don't think we can go back and cross lines for fiscal years. I got a thumbs up from the back. I'm feeling good about myself on that one.
I think just eliminate the whole probation period.
I think that makes it simpler for y'all to keep track of. Go 120 days.
That's easy.
Just say at the end of 120 days, then you do.
And it's easy to track because all you do is when you do a pay raise, you look back and say who was hired within the last 120 days.
So they have to have completed at least 4 months of their initial probation.
Yep, exactly.
4 months of employment. Forget probation. Just take probation out of it.
They're going to be on probation if they're new.
Right. They'll stay on probation, but that's just, after 4 months, then they'll get that raise that they didn't get.
So you become eligible for county across the board raises once you've completed 4 months of employment.
Correct.
Eric, does that sound like a language that's not going to make you a nightmare?
Why not six? Why four?
Well, six. Okay. Well, we can do six. I mean, you could run
the risk of being at 24 months, basically, at that point. So.
You know what I mean?
Y'all go back to the drawing board. Get some more chops.
We're gonna add some more.
How about we're getting?
I wish this were simple, but none of the person. Eric and Jessica and I
It will be difficult, but this is better than what we were talking about the first time when we said, we're just going to, if you're not here or if you're not through your probation, just move on to the next year. It keeps that from being the 18 months or 24 months, things of that nature. Now, and if we don't give anybody a raise, well, then it's a moot point. Nobody got one. We've been there before.
Okay, we're going to play with this a little bit. We'll come back with something.
The teachers get to raise rather than probation.
They're there for a year. They're there for a year before they get to raise.
Yeah.
We put it on the 20th.
Because we're on probation now for 5 years.
Is it 5 now instead of 3?
It's now 5 instead of 3.
Get it in.
Wow. But they get each one, but they're there a year before they get that one.
Right.
Okay. We'll fiddle around a little bit.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Quick question. I know this is coming out of the blue. I had a question asked of me. The building that the Christian Services Society we were buying from, Have we paid them for that yet?
No. Once the old building is moved, the one they're keeping, they're bringing a crane in. Once that old building is moved, I talked to the pastor the other day.
Okay.
Once the old building is moved, the electricity is hooked up, and they move their stuff out of both buildings, then we will execute that document that you all approved, the quit claim, and pay them the $11,000.
Okay, so once the other building is moved.
Right. They
I just need to have an answer I can give.
Right. As soon as the building keeping is moved and electric's hooked up and they're moved out of the old building, then we'll execute the quit claim and issue the check for the $11,000 that was purchased twice. Then Pastor
I'm sure that
he came in the other day and I talked to him.
Ms. Hughes just called me.
Hilton pulled somewhere.
All righty. Now, is there any other new business? Hearing none, I will now open up the second round of public comment. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the board at this time?
We have a special guest in
our audience. Right. That young man is tired because I witnessed him working today. I'm going to tell you right now. He was
water volunteer.
He still needs to come up.
That is true. We recognize Mr. Parrish for that.
I emotionally recognize Mr. Parrish for his outstanding.
Yes. Yes. And he's referring to majoring in African American history and sociology.
What was the award that you received? Hayden, come up here and tell us what the award you received was. Hayden, come up here and tell us what the reward you received was. Please, as you voluntarily do this in an open mic. Name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Charles Parrish, 429 Main Street, Pembroke, Virginia, 22963. Just changed. So.
I was going to say, I was wondering if he was even going to know it.
Yeah, it all just changed. I was awarded the Madison House Volunteer of the Year award at UVA.
For those who don't know, Madison House is one of the premier volunteer organizations.
Yeah, it's a volunteer organization that has, I believe, over probably 100 programs with around 4,000 student volunteers.
Yes.
A lot of people going through that house doing good things for Charlottesville. The school itself.
System there. Donald Stribling used to be my mentor for my students.
And this young man actually received high praise this past year. Somebody actually dressed up as him on Halloween.
That was satire. That didn't actually happen.
Come on, man.
It was a goal before I graduated, but it
didn't work out. Oh, come on.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, it's with all that volunteering.
I graduated.
Hey, he got a diploma.
You've already graduated.
I did graduate.
And you're going somewhere else, right?
I am working at the high school, but as an employee of the university through the Virginia College Advising Corps, college advising.
College.
Yeah, trade school, community college.
Yeah.
4 year traditional.
Did you join 3 years or 4 years?
I did UVA in 4 years.
Okay.
Yep. Stayed very normal.
That's great.
Yeah, very happy about that graduation and now has a job for it. Thank you, Mr. Parrish. And nobody made you do that.
Just a little pressure.
Just a little peer pressure. Okay, Mr. O'Brien.
Mr. Chair, I move the Fulvana County Board of Supervisors enter.
Hang on for just a second. Do we have any new pictures?
Did you ask for public comment? Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I'll catch up with you. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I remove the Fulvana County Board of Supervisors. Enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1 and Section 2.2-3711A7 as amended by the Code of Virginia for the purposes of discussing personnel and litigation.
Very good. We have a second from Mr. Weaver.
Wow, you've been doing your
homework. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're now in closed session.
Cut the grass, and he has not been successful. So I called Steve and said, what can we do? Is it anything that we can do. I'm almost tempted, but I couldn't keep it up, tempting to send someone down there and cut the grass. Can't cut it with a mower. You're going to have to weed eat it several times. That's how bad it is. And it just seems like there's nothing we can do. I know that Scott has been down. The compliance man has went down and talked to the manager.
The manager was actually appreciative because he was writing a letter so that he could then give it to his company to make him do it. But I don't really know of a way to do it. That's why we need
So, Fred, I don't know what we can do.
Didn't we pass that property when we went on our little tour?
I think so.
There is a statute that authorizes you to adopt an ordinance that is similar to the one you recently passed about the broken down buildings. Mm-hmm. You can do that for grass, weeds, and stuff
yes.
like that.
Right.
You can do that if you want to.
Okay.
I know that there are other jurisdictions around here that do it. The city of Charlottesville has it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Has it.
Yeah, that would be, well, that's what.
How much does that apply to, like, John Smith Farmer?
Well, farm is a different story. But,
John Smith and
if my his,
home.
If his pasture is on side of the road, and then...
Well, the answer to that is, I don't have the statute firm, so I can't remember exactly what the words are, but that's going to be the issue, is you cut your grass twice a week, I cut my grass every 2 weeks. Can you come after me for this?
Yeah, and I don't like the looks of yours. And
you're hurting my property value because you've got too many animals or you got too tall of grass.
I can have staff put together just a little brief information packet according to Fred for your next agenda, the agenda afterward.
But if you're gonna, if farmer's gonna make hay, it's gonna gotta let the hay grow until it's cuttable.
This is covered for us design, but
okay.
No, I'm not after the farmers.
Yeah, because that's a crop.
Yeah,
I don't have the problem with the farmers. This is not.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, this came up 4 years ago, and I think staff presented stuff, but it looked like it was kind of closer to the edge, and you all didn't want to really deal too much with, you know, kind of getting in people's business. But from a business point of view, be nice if businesses were kept a little neater and cleaner and we had some enforcement authority, but
I've been down and I'll go in and I talk to the manager. Said, when do you pick up trash around? You need to go out.
I'm going to say, because the manager can do that. I mean, the manager's getting paid to take care of the place.
It has improved 100%, and I praise him every time I go in there just to keep him motivated. But he's frustrated.
Well, you know, one thing you could do. You wouldn't be doing this as a supervisor, you'd be doing it as a citizen. Have a citizen writing campaign. Mm-hmm. Just have people write to the company care of this local manager saying, you know, we appreciate your store, we like your store, but we're not interested in shopping the place that looks this grubby. Mm-hmm. Doing this.
And there are people who've said that.
And if you get a bunch of people to do that, that's.
Then he can send those letters to his boss.
That's the point. Right. And that I don't know whether it worked or not, but it wouldn't hurt.
Didn't they say something like he didn't want to cut it because he was afraid of snakes?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. That would be my son-in-law.
Okay. See, if I were a manager of a place like that and the boy and the boss didn't cut it, I'd that grass wouldn't have been that high. I'd have cut it.
You'd have cut it.
I would have cut it.
You just showed up to school with your mower and cut the grass.
That's right.
I'm not being funny.
I can tell you, I used to weed the flower beds in front of the hospital for my last command.
Yeah.
And it was a running joke that whenever the residents were graduating, they always had these skits and stuff. And one of them had me going out using the weed eater and weeding grass out of the flower beds and stuff because they saw the commanding officer out there doing that kind of stuff. Why not? I'm capable. I can do it. It was fun. And it was our facility, though.
At the last.
So I can put some information together for you that is related to this code and then some pros and cons of that because it is, you have to be kind of careful with that.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the only thing that I'm sitting here thinking. Then it becomes, you know, I don't like your yards, I complain. And if it's been the last 3 weeks and you haven't been able to get anything out there but a boat.
Ms. Eager and Ms. Booker both recently have seen, because they did some ride-arounds with Scott, have seen that it's not as clear cut as, boy, that looks nasty, we need to clean it up. Well, there's got to be a kind of a health department reason to.
Yeah, it's hard to get a health department reason. We saw a place like that behind the funeral home.
Yes. And
you say, who in the world is living there? Why? Why?
My father used to say, it takes a lot of work to make the place look that bad.
Yes. I mean, even a trash piled up on the side. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, I'm equally frustrated with you when I drive around. There's a house up here on 15 that's this time of year is in the woods and you just can't really see it very much. But when the leaves are down, it is just a cesspool mess.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to have a health and safety issue reason to make them do some stuff. And
the problem, when I say it's a slippery slope, in this place, yeah, I've seen it, but mm-hmm. I'm assuming it looks terrible. Everybody would agree it looks terrible. The county adopts this ordinance, orders this guy to fix it, go through all that stuff. Somebody says, hey, that worked pretty well. I might come out and do that with my neighbor.
Yeah, that's my issue.
Yeah, but I'm thinking the ordinance can be written. So this business
and
to be business,
so
not.
I will just do some mini research and we'll part of the spread, and then at maybe the July 11th meeting when you're back, ma'am, we'll at least have a kind of a end of the meeting discussion, but not too much.
Right. Let me just say the idea of doing it for businesses and not residences, that really should be self-enforcing.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go in there into that dump.
Yeah. Can I stand outside the place and get petition signed?
No.
Huh?
Well, I hate to put this one out to pasture, but.
You're ready to go home.
All right. I don't want to make a lot of hay.
Any other.
But if we can cut the grass and get done.
Any other business we need to take care of? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I mean, I'm happy to talk about a couple of glass of wine. But,
do I have a motion to adjourn before we go to cutting
grass? Second.
Motion by Mr. Ryan, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
We
opposed?
No.
Chair votes aye.
We like each other. We're not used to being away from each other in an hour.
I love y'all to death, but sometimes.
I think Mr.